Good morning, and welcome to Greater Good. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Green Valley. The Greater Good Science Center studies the psychology, sociology, and neuroscience of well-being, and teaches skills that foster a thriving, resilient, and compassionate society. And now, some articles from Greater Good. Can we ease loneliness with a little gratitude? A new study suggests that people who give thanks tend to feel less disconnected from others. By Kira M. Newman, November 19, 2024. The holidays can be a lonely time of year for those who are far from loved ones or even just longing for closer relationships. They have plenty of company, holidays aside. In a recent Gallup poll, 20% of U.S. adults said that they felt lonely a lot of the day yesterday. While there may be many steps we can take to encourage connection on both individual and societal levels, a big new study suggests that there is one step anyone can take right now to blunt the pain of isolation. Giving thanks. Gratitude around the world. College of Charleston researchers James B. Hittner and Calvin D. Widholm collected 26 studies of gratitude and loneliness involving nearly 10,000 people around the world, from the U.S. to India to Portugal to Nigeria. Participants averaged 35 years old, but ranged largely from college-aged to middle-aged adults. Then, Hittner and Widholm conducted a meta-analysis of all the studies together, which can provide stronger evidence for a finding than one study alone. Their results suggest that grateful people tend to be less lonely no matter their age, their gender, or whether they live in the U.S. or elsewhere. If someone was above average in gratitude, they had a 62% chance of being below average in loneliness. So why would gratitude, a positive emotion where we recognize the benefits we receive from other people in our life, help us to be less lonely? This meta-analysis cannot prove that gratitude reduces loneliness rather than vice versa, because it's only based on correlational surveys. But several other studies have found that gratitude practices like writing gratitude letters or simply saying thank you can lessen loneliness. And to Hittner, this seems like a more likely explanation. Loneliness, research suggests, is ultimately about how we perceive our relationships and whether they measure up to what we want. And if one is grateful, then what that should be facilitating are richer, stronger social relationships, says Hittner. How gratitude alleviates loneliness. Why? If we're gratitude-minded, we tend to be more tuned into the good things in our lives. So we're more likely to notice when our partner makes us a cup of coffee in the morning or a coworker goes out of their way to help us finish a report. That's important because part of the hallmark of loneliness is a distorted way of thinking where we hone in on negative feedback from other people and worry that they are judging us. rather than staying home and isolated, as the lonely sometimes do, gratitude may actually help us to seek out the support that we need. Another explanation might be the way gratitude inspires us to action, starting with thinking the person who helped us, a gesture that can strengthen the relationship further. Or we might pay it forward and help someone else, which could bolster a completely different relationship. More broadly, gratitude just feels good. And when we feel good, we are generally more open to the world, to new perspectives, and to new relationships. One study found that grateful people were more psychologically flexible, able to nimbly cope with adversity and act in service of their values and sense of meaning in life. Hittner believes that this openness to taking in new ideas, meeting new people, and having new experiences is one good antidote to loneliness. He also suggests that anyone who is teaching or sharing gratitude practices might encourage people to focus their appreciation on relationships to get an extra anti-loneliness boost. And researchers who are testing gratitude practices should measure the benefits for loneliness as well. Loneliness is such an important outcome, and it correlates with depression and anxiety, says Hittner. Aiming your gratitude at other people could be a natural way to support your mental health. About the author, Kira M. Newman is the managing editor of Greater Good. Her work has been published in outlets including The Washington Post, Mindful Magazine, Social Media Monthly, and Tech.co. She is the co-editor of The Gratitude Project. Follow her on Twitter. You are listening to Greater Good Magazine, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. 8 Ways to Ease the Pain of Loneliness. Even if we can't be around other people, we can take steps to heal loneliness. By Emma Sapala, October 2nd, 2020. Loneliness hurts. Most of us have experienced this, especially in this time of quarantine, which was, this article was written in 2020, many can feel lonely. With the advent of technology and social media and the ever-increasing speed of life, we may feel more connected in some ways, but, on the other hand, human moments of actual face-to-face exchange without interruption can become more rare. A sociological study shows that disconnect seems to be on the rise, with 1 out of 4 Americans feeling like they have no one to talk to about personal problems. Loneliness is the leading reason people seek out therapy, and one study suggests that loneliness is a risk factor for mortality. As I have written about in previous posts, social connection is critical to our health and well-being, as is vulnerability and an essential ingredient to intimacy. We thrive in community, in connection, in giving and receiving love. In a survey I conducted with Stanford students, when I asked what single activity brought them the greatest fulfillment, the most commonly given answer was spending time with friends and loved ones. It's not surprising that loneliness hurts. A brain imaging study showed that feeling ostracized actually activates our neural pain matrix. In fact, several studies show that ostracizing others hurts us as much as being ostracized ourselves. We can hypothesize that similarly, loneliness is associated with the pain matrix. From one perspective, we are all fundamentally alone. We come into this world alone and we leave it alone. We are all independent entities with thoughts, feelings, and emotions that no one else can fully understand or experience, no matter how numerous our friends. On the other hand, we are always completely interconnected, no matter how few our friends. We are connected to millions of people all over the world through the intricate web of economic and social relationships that bring food to our table, clothes on our bodies. We are literally connected to every other human being who shares this same ecosphere with us simply by the air that we breathe. We are in touch with every other person and animal on the planet by the ground that we walk on. We are both alone and deeply connected. When the pain of loneliness takes hold of you, here are some tools that can help build resilience. Connect with yourself 100%. Most of us have learned to distract ourselves the very moment that we feel an uncomfortable emotion, such as loneliness, surfacing. We may engage in healthy forms of distraction, such as reading, exercises, or working, or unhealthy forms of distraction, such as overeating, drinking, or watching hours of television. While these options may provide temporary relief, they often lead to other problems, such as weight gain in the case of overeating or drinking, exhaustion and burnout in the case of overexercising or overworking, and even addiction. Moreover, as explained by Harvard's Dan Wegner, when we try to resist something, it tends to persist all the more. Distracting ourselves from the core problem does not get at its roots. Children, on the other hand, often give free rein to their emotions. Though this may seem immature to adults, children also get over negative emotions extremely quickly and are able to move on to the next thing, as if nothing happened. Adults, in an attempt to bury and control their emotions, often carry them with them for years. Allowing the emotion to arise and giving it our full attention may be key to letting it go. Here are three exercises for embracing loneliness. 1. Give the emotion full expression. Let the emotion take center stage, especially if you are used to distracting yourself from your feelings. This exercise may feel uncomfortable. But if you let yourself feel the emotion 100%, it may just move through you more quickly. Observe the sensations of the emotion. Notice the thoughts that it triggers. Cry if tears come. Be with the discomfort fully. 2, go into silence. Silence can be difficult and even scary for some people. We are used to televisions blaring, background noise, car radios jingling, iPods playing, text messages beeping, cell phones ringing, Facebook notifications pinging, tweets tweeting, and emails downloading. Set yourself a time for the silence, such as a half an hour. If you wish, you can take a walk during that time or engage in a relaxed form of exercise, like swimming. make sure that the activity is not one that becomes a distraction. Choose to do something that simply allows you to be in silence. Be as present as you can with everything around you and within you. 3. Engage in mindful meditation. No longer deemed an exotic, esoteric, or mystical activity, meditation has become mainstream. Though meditation is very simple, it can also require great courage. Simply be with the sensations, thoughts, and emotions that arise without trying to control or change them. Observe them with the kindness of a mother watching her child at play. Be patient. If the emotions get uncomfortable, muster up your valor, strength, tenacity, and patience. Set yourself a time limit and do not get up until the time is over. You can start with 5 minutes and eventually work up to sitting for 20 or 30 minutes at a time. For those readers or listeners who want to jump to the next point because of the very sound of being 100% present with your feelings sounds too difficult, remember that being present allows the emotion to pass, whereas in distraction, you may just be holding onto and extending the feeling. Moreover, in a recent study, researchers found that being present with what is happening, no matter how unpleasant that experience, tends to be more pleasant than not being present. These findings suggest that we are actually happier if we do not distract ourselves from the present, irrespective of how much we dislike it. Cultivate inner and outer connection. Research shows that we reap the psychological well-being and physical health benefits of social connection, not for the number of friends that we have, but from our internal and subjective sense of connection towards others. In other words, we could have only one friend or no friends at all, but if we feel connected from the inside, then we reap all the benefits thereof. This research finding is empowering because whatever starts from within is within our own hands. 4. Take care of the body. As part of our distracted lifestyle, we often don't listen to our body. We eat the wrong foods, drink, stay up too late, and forget to exercise or over-exercise. We also carry around the false notion that our body's well-being is independent from that of our mind. This is not the case. As anyone who has started a healthy diet or an exercise regime knows, when we start to take care of our body, we feel naturally better, and with a positive state of mind, our whole outlook on life changes. As a friend of mine who was going through a divorce once told me, "If my mind is okay, then everything is okay." One of the best ways to take care of our minds is to take good care of our bodies. 5. Serve. Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle, is a quote that resonates with us all. There is always someone suffering more than we are. This gives us the opportunity to approach others with kindness and a sense of service. No matter what our capabilities, we can always contribute to others with as little as a smile or more. Service is very simple. Help one person at a time and always start with the person nearest you, said Mother Teresa. Whether it is the person working the cash register at the grocery store or your neighbor. Even one small act of kindness can brighten someone's day. We can be of service to people, animals, or even nature. Whatever you are drawn to, your act of service is an act of connection that will help lift your loneliness. Research shows that compassion and service can be tremendous benefit. Often, when we feel down or alone, our vision and universe become very narrow. Helping others when we feel down or alone, our vision and universe become, very narrow. Helping others can immediately change our perspective and re-energize us, which is why compassion has been linked to well-being. As Mahatma Gandhi wrote, the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. 6. Connect with nature. If connecting with people is a challenge, connect with nature. A recent study shows that taking walks in nature can increase our well-being, even in the case of depression. And another study showed that exposure to nature increases our sense of connectedness and closeness, and even makes us more caring and ready to share with others. Connecting with nature can help broaden that vision and inspire an experience of awe at the view of a landscape. Cultivating awe through nature can also help broaden our perspective. Research on awe, which is often inspired by beautiful natural sceneries, such as a starlit sky or a vast horizon, suggests that it slows our perception of time by bringing us into the present moment and enhances our well-being. 7. Practice loving kindness meditation. This exercise is a meditation designed to increase our sense of love and kindness towards others. A study that I ran at Stanford showed that even 7 minutes of this exercise can make us feel more connected to others in a deep-seated way. 8. Fall in love with yourself. If you make friends with yourself, you will never be alone, wrote Maxwell Maltz. We often run from solitude for the same reasons we run from loneliness. We fear being alone. But being alone also means doing what you please. You can dance at your own rhythm, eat whatever you fancy, watch the movies you wish to watch, and make choices that are entirely your own. Being alone is often the only time that we can truly rest, undistracted, unstimulated by the environment and other people. Audrey Hepburn said, "I have to be alone very often. I'd be quite happy if I spent from Saturday night until Monday morning alone in my apartment. That's how I refuel." Being alone can be a great source of replenishment and even bliss. Beneath the thoughts and emotions is a vast ocean of silence, peace, and well-being. We all access it at times. Sometimes it can be experienced when you lose yourself in a sunset, or just as you wake up before your thoughts flood the mind, or in an act of service or love, in meditation or prayer. The more we can access that space, the more that well-being also permeates the rest of our day. Finally, know that you are not alone. We are all deeply vulnerable. This knowledge alone may open your heart and make you feel connected to all. Moreover, The pain of loneliness is also one that gives you tremendous depth and empathy. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who worked with dying patients all of her life in the depths of their vulnerability, wrote, "The most beautiful people we have known are those who have known defeat, known suffering, known struggle, known loss, and have found their way out of the depths. These persons have an appreciation, a sensitivity, and an understanding of life that fills them with compassion, gentleness, and a deep loving concern. Beautiful people do not just happen. Every difficult experience can make us deeper, wiser, more compassionate, and grateful, and ultimately happier and more fulfilled." About the author. Emma Sapala, PhD, is the science director of Stanford University's Center for Compassion and Altruism Research and Education, and the author of The Happiness Track. You have been listening to Greater Good Magazine, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Green Valley, wishing you all a wonderful holiday weekend and rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.